with yet another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, where we review absolutely everything and anything that is related to horror, horror movies, horror TV shows, horror movies that deal with time travel like The House at the End of Time, horror TV shows, horror wrestling gimmicks, horror primetime specials from the 1990s featuring Barbara Walters. And I'm Hill Dowd. We take a time machine, travel to the past, and watch these specials that we can review them here because around here, we absolutely love that shit. But if we are honest, and I am always honest with you, there is a particular type of horror that I tend to gravitate towards. That's heavy-duty doc. And that's horror that has to deal with the Catholic Church, of course, and demonic possession. But I also love knowing what vampires do with their spare time in the shadows. And let's not forget a good zombie story. I like a zombie that eats, I wanna eat brains. And of course, I also love witches and witches coven. But let's not forget a classic ghost story of a ghost that haunts your home. Why? Fuck it. I have nothing better to do. What are you gonna do about it? Welcome to our show. If this is your first time listening, thank you for stopping by. If you are a returning listener, raise my hand. Welcome back to our show. And before I go on and before my producers start barking in my ears, I'd like to first and foremost tell you about our socials. You can find us on the Instagram, on the TikTok. We also have I'll let Mr. Luster Holt tell you about the... Thanks so much, Rick. You can find Rick on his YouTube channel. If you like these clips, find more stuff. But you can find more shit on his YouTube channel where he constantly uploads silly shit. Back to you, Rick. Thank you so much, Mr. Holt. We also have a Facebook, but nobody uses that. That's for the olds. But before I continue, before I say anything else, we have a special introduction for two reasons, but there's one of them right there. Oh, my goodness. Check out the DeLorean time machine, Marty. It's finally completed. The Lego time machine for Christmas. It's finished. Great Scott. And there it is. It's right in front of us. This is the one we've been waiting for all our life. Complete with its hook. Oh, the hook on this side. Now, if you know the story, you need the 1.21 gigawatts of electricity. 1.21 gigawatts! That's right, 1.21 gigawatts of electricity to go into the flux capacitor in order for you to go back to the future, Marty. And that's why it's got the little hook there, because in 1955, plutonium wasn't as readily available as it is in 1985. So we had to, you know, find more creative means of getting back to the future. But I will play this song once more, because before I go on, I must introduce the co-host of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, Billy the AI.
Ah, I was wondering when you were going to talk about me. Here I am. And it's nice to be back, and we got to get back to the future, Marty. And, you know, I'm really glad we really finally got that DeLorean nice and going. And then there it is. Oh, my goodness. That's amazing. And, well, you know, I know we got a special introduction for another reason, because this episode is special as usual.
Thanks, Billy. I appreciate that.
Oh, yeah. That's why I'm here. But, you know, let's not waste any more time, and let's get it done.
Let's get it done indeed. If you are new to our show, we have a simple format we'd like to stick to. You are not new to our show, then you already know this format. I am going to talk about why I chose to watch this movie. And then I will have Billy tell you four fun film facts with him. Then we'll go on to what kind of horror film this is. And then I'll tell you whether or not this film is scary Folks, that kid finally isn't here. That is a special episode. And then I'll tell you...
Hey, mister!
Oh! Damn you, children!
I don't want to waste your time, but is this film scary?
Get out of here, child! You're goddamn right this film is scary. The Horror Movie Review Show! What do you expect? Then I'll tell you whether or not the jump scare is overused. Then I'll talk about the things I like as usual, but not things I like in general. I like all kinds of shit, like Back to the Future, Marty. Oh, things about the movie that I really enjoyed. And I'll also talk about the things I didn't like. Like, I mentioned this before, not things in general that I don't like. Like ranch. Ugh, I already said that, but ugh. And then, courtesy of a listener in Brazil, obrigado, I'll tell you whether or not I fell asleep watching this movie. Did I fall asleep watching this movie? I'll tell you. Then I'll tell you whether or not this film is entertaining. Because, you know, there's plenty of things that you can find that you like, and plenty of things that you didn't like, and you could still find the film entertaining. Do I endorse this film? The segment formerly known as Do I Recommend It? Then I'll give you a rating. We're going to give you some context. We'll talk about some illogical stuff, maybe? I don't think there's a lot of illogical stuff in this one. But then we'll do a full plot review commentary. And as usual, script accurate. Isn't that right, Billy? Script accurate dramatization of scene.
Turn that music down a little bit. If I could just be serious for a moment.
Wow. Okay, sure.
I just want to say that they are never script accurate. It's always dramatized, and you always add things that are not in the movie. And, you know, I just want to be honest with the audience.
You know, I also want to be honest with the audience. Billy tends to not watch the right version of the movie. Isn't that right, Billy?
Hey, what do you mean? There's only one version.
Plenty of versions of the movie, and you always watch the wrong one. But I'm really sorry about that. Anyway... We'll do an interpretation of the ending if one is merited. And then I'll give you another rating. And without further ado, let's jump right into this one. So why this movie? As a matter of fact, the reason why we're watching this movie, and it's because of a fellow instant grammar, as the kids like to say, by the name of We Watch Shudder. I think it's We Watch Shudder. Or We Watch Shudder. That sounds stupid. No. It's definitely We Watch Shudder. And he made this thing called a posting on their Instagram page about this film. And I said to myself, huh? Well, that don't reckon they look rather interesting. And then I did the tick-tick-tick-tick-tick-tick. There are... Reposting? No, that's something else. Then I did a reply to the posting, and we had a worldwide web conversation on the internet, otherwise known as the interwebs. I don't know, it's a complicated lingo speak, and I don't want to bore all the children watching this, all three of you. Anyway, the We Watch... I sound stupid, but like I said, We Watch... Shudder? We Watch Shudder? I'm pretty sure it's We Watch Shudder, but what do I know? Anyway, that's why we're reviewing this. Let's just move on. Anyway, and now it's time for 4 fun film facts with Billy the AI. Billy, take over, please.
Yes, thank you, welcome back to 4 Fun Film Facts with Billy Day AI, and I'm your host, Billy Day AI, and I'm going to talk about some 4 fun film facts about the movie. And by the way, have you even said the name of the movie yet?
Actually, it has completely slipped my mind, but this is a special episode, and if you're familiar with the show, you know what the special episode means. No, it's not because of the DeLorean time machine, although that does make it doubly special. There's a reason we had a special Back to the Future introduction. That means something about this episode. That one. But I must warn everybody. This is a 30-year-old film, Ghostwatch. 31, 32, 33, something around that. It's going to be spoiler-full from this point forward, okay? I typically tend to do spoiler-free stuff first, and then, you know, we'll get into it later. If you have not seen this movie, you've had 30 years to do it. There's just some... I'm not going to go into super plotty stuff, but there are some important plot elements that I need to address in this section. And Billy is going to address some of this stuff too, if I'm not mistaken. And anyway, spoiler full the... it's going to be a spoiler full episode the whole way. Okay, Billy, back to you.
Can we start... Can you go back to you first and then can you say... And now back to Billy... And, don't forget to put my music on.
And now, back to Billy for 4 Fun Film Facts with Billy the AI! Billy!
Oh, I really like that. Hey, take one of these.
Obrigado, obrigado.
Ah, de nada, de nada. Sem problema.
Ah, você fala português?
Não, muito, mas sim, falo.
El gusto.
Okay, and here we go. Here's the first fun film fact. This was actually aired as a reality. Despite Ghostwatch being a work of fiction, it was actually presented as a live documentary to British audiences in the 1990s. Now, this approach led to many viewers to believe that the ghostly occurrences were actually happening in real time, and it actually caused the panic and confusion, similar to Orson Welles' War of the Worlds radio broadcast in 1938. Do you know Orson Welles?
I guess I'll take that as a yes.
And that the public reaction, and that was fun film fact number one. Can I get an applause? And now, fun film fact number two. The public reaction, the broadcast on Halloween night, October 31st, 1992, led to an estimated 30,000 phone calls to the BBC within a single hour, with viewers expressing their concern, fear, and many times outrage. Many were not aware that the Ghostwatch was a scripted drama, as it featured real BBC presenters playing themselves. And that was a real interesting thing. And now on to fun film fact number three. This is actually scripted by a horror novelist. The screenplay for Ghostwatch was written by Stephen Fulk. He's a well-regarded horror novelist and screenwriter, and his intention was to blend the lines between reality and fiction using the familiar format of a live broadcast to create an unsettling horror narrative. And lastly, but of course not lastly, the legacy over the years. Ghostwatch has been reevaluated by critics and audiences alike, gaining appreciation for its innovative approach to horror storytelling. It's been the subject of academic studies, documentaries, and, you know, retrospectives, celebrating its role as a sort of precursor to the modern horror techniques called found footage in both film and television. And this has been 4 Fun Film Facts with Billy the AI. And now back to you, Rick.
Wow, you really like that, huh?
Well, I mean, we're running a professional operation over here, right?
We sure are.
And now, back to you, Rick.
Thank you so much for that, Billy. Yes, indeed. Okay, so what kind of horror film is this?
This is The Grandpappy?
The precursor to what modern audience is more than... horror audiences would refer to, because I gotta practice my English accent, because there's a lot of English accents in this. What modern horror enthusiasts call the found footage type of horror film. But it's a precursor to that, presented, as Billy just said, as, you know, like you're watching
I don't know, like a telethon or something. If anybody's old enough would know what a telethon is, that's what this feels like.
Okay, is Ghostwatch scary?
I reckon it's not. It's not a bad thing. Maybe from the audience. Okay, so from the perspective of a 21st century man, it's not scary. But if we place ourselves, I reckon there'd be a ghost here. But if we place ourselves in the shoes of an audience in 1992, pre-internet, pre-World Wide Web, the internet was around, but before everybody had access to information, or before anybody could just anoint themselves a demonologist, you were probably pretty scared, thinking that this was a real program. You know, you had, think about this, you had real presenters from the BBC. Oh, this is Michael from the BBC. And you're watching Ghostwatch. Can you imagine? You're watching all of a sudden. It's like, oh, this is similar to Ghostwatch. Almost feels a little bit like 2020 with Heel Down. I'm Heel Down. And you're watching Ghostwatch. Barbara, back to you.
Thank you so much, Hugh. And tonight's episode, we are going to discuss the ghostly apparitions that happened in Ghostwatch.
Imagine Barbara Walters and Hugh Downs here in the States suddenly being part of, you know, a 2020 episode, live episode, ghost watching or some shit like that. And this is the equivalent, I think, of what they did in Britain by putting real television program presenters. So maybe then I would have thought, a 7 or an 8 back then. Maybe even higher. But anyway.
Is the jump scare overused?
It is not overused. It is used as a tool in their arsenal of telling a creepy horror story. And it's done really, really, really well. And I'm doing things with my hands as usual. But yes, I liked the way that it was used. It was used sparingly. It was used appropriately. It was well used, well timed, well executed. Audiences who have been here before, all three of you know that I am not susceptible to the jump scare. I don't know why. I get it. I do. It does happen. And there have been movies that get me, and I tend to give them extra points for it. But this one did not get me.
And now on to the things I liked about Ghostwatch, sponsored, as usual, by no one.
Maybe we can get the inside the NBA guys to sponsor this.
That would be terrible.
The things I liked. This is a horror mockumentary. We can call it a found footage style thing nowadays because this gave birth to that. You know, these are the parents. This is the parents of the found footage style, considering the Blair Witch Project, I think, was probably the first real big found footage style film was only 7 years after this. Wow, that's crazy. But yeah, a horror mockumentary sort of thing. Found footage. I loved it. I loved it. It was brilliant. Love, absolutely love all the presenters on the tele program. It was the wicked. I actually loved the fact that TV presenters, actual TV presenters, not actors, actual TV presenters, and I just mentioned Barbara Walters, Hugh Downs, they were actually playing the role of preview presenters. And as you can imagine, they did it. They were doing their job, and it felt so real. They were just so good at it. It was presented to, as Billy mentioned this already, it was presented to British audiences as a live television program. And that's the crazy thing, right? That it was presented to them as actually something that was happening in real time. So imagine now you're a Brit, an LN9, and Brit, folks in Brit, I know there's one or two who are listening to me. You could call in. Call on the telly line and let me know if you recall watching this telly program, or perhaps your parents or your grandparents were watching this with you. And yeah, it was presented to them as a real life event. The switchboards were completely jammed because it was presented as the real event. I really like that. I mean, call me an agent of chaos. I wouldn't know what to do. That's my Joker. And here we go. And all these people who thought this thing was happening in real, time as it happened, called. Beep, beep, boop, 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 boop. Hello? Yes, I'd like to talk to the guest watch, yes? What bloody hell buffoonery is this you have on the television? I want to watch Monty Python, not this buffoonery. 30,000 calls, I think Billy said, and they completely jammed phones, phone switchboards, and caused severe outrage. I also like the fact that this was a great concept for a horror film. You take the idea that this is a real thing, again, real film. This is beyond found footage stuff. You're watching a found footage film. You know that this is a horror film, but yes, I have a tendency to not read anything about the stuff that I watch. I was confused about whether or not this was actually shot. I actually thought that they filmed this today in the 21st century and made it look like it was the 1990s. Then I was even more impressed. I was like, holy shit. Oh, everybody. This looks amazing. Not that we can't do period pieces. Of course we can. But it feels so real. Like they captured the essence of a 1990s television news program in Britain so well. I was so impressed. Later, I realized that it actually is, you know, a television program from the 1990s. So anyway, I really love that. And I love what they did with it. Amazing acting, as you can imagine. All of these folks were professionals in the roles that they were playing, so it wasn't that much of a stretch for them to be doing a tremendous job, but they did, right? Even though it was probably scripted, or I don't know. I don't know how they did this. I just felt so authentic. I loved it. All the callers, by the way, another thing I really enjoyed. All the callers from several different places in England showcasing the slight variances in their accent. Absolutely brilliant. Absolutely bloody. Detroit's absolutely bloody brilliant. So many slight differences, and I'm terrible at it, but I do enjoy the differences in the accent. Okay, on to the things I didn't like, as usual, also sponsored by nobody. This film had a proper ending. Okay? It did. I can't complain. I am going to, but I can't. It had a proper ending. It had the ending that this film needed. Unfortunately, I did not like it. But it was correct for the story, and congratulations for writing a will. Did I fall asleep watching this? I did not. At first, I was a little confused about what the hell was going on. Again, I thought to myself that this was actually filmed today. And I kept thinking to myself, wow, the aesthetic is so well captured. You know, this is brilliant. Like, I'm like, even the actors look like they're from the 1990s. These humans look like they were alive in the 1990s. You know, sometimes you put actors in a stupid wig. I'm looking at you, Stranger Things. And they kind of look like they would fit the era, right? But these people were just living their normal 1990 lives. And I was so confused and impressed by the fact that they looked so realistic before I realized. Actually, I didn't know that it wasn't filmed today until after I finished watching it and started doing the research for the show. Because again, I don't like to know anything about something before I go in. I want to be surprised. You know, and I know that earlier in the year, that one was really biting me in the old ass because I was watching a lot of shit. But thankfully, I've been listening to recommendations from people. So no, I did not fall asleep. What a long-winded run to say I did not fall asleep. Okay, is this film entertaining? Without a shadow of a doubt. I went in this thing knowing absolutely nothing about what I was going to watch. And again, I was just confused. But no, this film was phenomenal. It was entertaining. Yes.
Do I endorse this film? Does Rick of Horror Movie Review Show endorse? Which camera?
This camera?
Hi, this is Rick from Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, and I absolutely endorse Ghostwatch. Go watch this film. And a rating. I have been just gloating about this movie for the last 25 minutes, almost 26. You already know I got a special introduction if you've been here before, but the rating. This film gets a 10 out of 10. It is unique. It is fun. It is entertaining. It is like nothing I've seen before. Nothing I've seen since, and I haven't seen anything since, but who knows? The precursor to found footage style films, you took the reality of a television program in Britain in the 1990s and inserted real broadcasters playing the role of broadcasters and presented this to British audiences as the truth. Ah! Brilliant! Take an absolute bow. Ghostwatch. I absolutely loved it. Billy, what'd you think about this movie?
Well, I'm gonna agree with you on that too. Hold on, let me rewatch it just quickly.
Are you done?
Oh, yeah. I was watching it a second and a third time there.
Show off.
I am. I'm sorry that the, you know, organic intelligence is not as fast as the artificial intelligence. Anyway, I'm gonna agree with you, and I'm gonna get this movie a 10 out of 10 right here on Billy's Horror Movie Review Show. Billy's Rated B Horror Movie Review Show, where we review all things and let it to horror.
Oh my goodness, Billy. What are you doing?
Well, if you got your Reddit R show, why can't I have my Reddit B show?
I guess there's no reason for you not to, but sounds like a bit of a ripoff.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry, because you didn't rip off the name Reddit R, did you?
Rip it off from who?
Oh, well, what about the Reddit R superstar?
He ripped that stuff off from me. I was rated R before he was ever rated R. I was born with rated R. He became rated R.
Oh, okay, I mean, I guess you got a point there. Anyway, back to you on Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, which is not quite as good as Rated B's Billy Review Show.
You're out of your mind. Anyway, I would like to first now tell you some context. Now, Billy mentioned this earlier. The War of the World is a very famous, if you don't know this, you need to know this. I want me to give you some context. The War of the World is a very famous piece of science fiction, a novel by H.G. Wells, also penned The Time Machine. That one there. And he wrote this, and it was published in 1898. So this is one of the earliest stories to detail the conflict between mankind and an extraterrestrial race. Which is interesting and very valid, and yeah, we won't go into that. We should do an alien episode. Anyway, the plot of The War of the Worlds follows the experiences of an unnamed protagonist and his brother in London during the invasion of Earth by Martians. It's considered to be a seminal work of science fiction in the genre, and, you know, it explores themes of imperialism, evolution, survival, and this story has been adapted in various media over the years, including radio in 1938, film, and, of course, television. Tom Cruise made a movie in 2005. It was very good. I liked it. One of the most notable adaptations is the radio novella in 1938 by Orson Welles and the Mercury Theater. And this was presented as a series of news
bulletins to American audiences, and this broadcast was famous for causing panic amongst listeners in the United States who believed that this invasion was real. And this incident showcased the power, of course, of radio at the time. Could you imagine? And the impact of realistic fiction on the public. Okay, so that's a little bit of context for you. If you've never seen the 2005 movie, I think they've made other movies as well. I would watch that, and I would actually listen to the radio novella. It's on YouTube. I listened to it two nights ago. And it, again, if you place yourself in the shoes of an audience in 1938, and you're listening to this while you're, I don't know, smoking a pipe, or whatever the case that people did in 1938. We're gonna make some rest. Oh. Okay, maybe not that. Don't put yourself in those shoes, but put yourself in the shoes of some decent human beings in America in 1938. And you're listening to this, and suddenly, you know, this is being told to you as a real story. And imagine how creepy that shit was. I listened to it, and I thought it was I thought it was brilliant. But anyway, listen to it and watch that movie. Okay. Halloween, also important because this again was shown and presented to TV audiences in Britain in 1992 on Halloween night. So why do I want to talk about Halloween? Because maybe not a lot of people know exactly the origins of Halloween, and I sort of knew them, but this is really interesting to find out. So the origin of Halloween in the United States can be traced back to ancient Celtic festival of Samhain, or Samhain, which was celebrated at the end of harvest season on October 31st. Now, the Celts, who lived 2,000 years ago in the area that is now Ireland and the United Kingdom, north of France, believed that on this night, the boundary between the world of the living and the world of the dead became blurred, allowing spirits to return to Earth. Now, Halloween came to the United States with European immigrants, and the tradition found fertile ground in the melding of mixing of various cultures and customs that is now typical of American society. America. Over time, of course, Halloween evolved into a day of activities like trick-or-treating.
Trick-or-treat! Trick-or-treat!
Get out of here, children! There's no candy here! And over time, Halloween evolved into, you know, again, jack-o'-lanterns, trick-or-treating, festive gatherings, parties, costumes, and a shitload of chocolates. And sometimes, for those terrible people out there who give Apple an Origins, damn you! Okay. Another interesting thing that I want to talk about is something that is called the Gansfield Technique that is talked about very briefly in the film, but it's important, I think, to know what this is before you go in. Consider this a companion episode. So the Gansfield Technique is a method that is used in parapsychology to test individuals for extrasensory perception, ESP, not ESPN, particularly telepathy. The Gansfield term is derived from German, meaning entire field or whole field, and this technique aims to create a sensory-deprived environment to enhance receptivity to mental information not gained through known physical senses, like our eyes, our nose, our mouth, and our ears. Okay. I also want to briefly talk about parapsychology because it struck me I don't really know much about parapsychology. What's that? So parapsychology is a field of study that investigates paranormal phenomena or experiences or events that cannot be explained by current scientific understanding. These phenomena often involve aspects of human consciousness and include, but are not limited to, extrasensory perception, ESP, I do declare I am a clairvoyant. Telepathy, psychokinesis, what happens after death, including reincarnation, and of course, ghost sightings. So that's parapsychology. Anyway, that's a little bit of context, and oh, my producers.
My producers are barking in my ears to remind you to follow us on our Instagram page at Rick's Horror. Oh, I didn't say Rick's Horror earlier. Oh, I'm sorry. You can follow us, be our friend on the Instagram page, be our friend on the TikToks at Rick's Horror, and be our friend on the YouTubes at Rick's Horror. Everywhere at Rick's Horror, we want to hear from you. Recommend something to us that is phenomenal, or something that you think I'm gonna hate. If you're a frequent listener of this show, you know that I detest. I hate the slasher film. It's just so boring and lame. It's just, who did it? Kill. I'm sorry. All right. If you like the slashing, that's all right, okay? I don't like the slashes, all right? Now, there's been some slashes that I really do enjoy. We've reviewed The Conference. If you haven't seen The Conference or listened to our review on The Conference, go check that out. We also reviewed Totally Killer, which is essentially a spiritual successor to Back to the Future. They took elements of slasher films. They literally took the plot from Back to the Future. They melded them together and created a monstrosity of epic proportions. If you have not listened to our review on Totally Killer, please go check that out. It's amazing. Anyway, without further ado, let's just jump right into the plot review. And by the way, check this out. I don't have to. The desk doesn't make all kinds of crazy shit noise anymore. Because I moved my mic. Let me give an extra applause so I can take a sip of this old coffee, because it's going to be a long one. Man, that's good coffee. I check this cup out. Man, I mean, I should showcase these cups. Which camera? Which camera? Can you see it? Lord Vader, can you hear me? Anyway, this camera. Oh, I also moved the camera, if you notice. So now we have this angle, this angle. Oh, it's going crazy. We're going crazy. All right. Let's move that bad boy a little closer. Okay, here we go. So the title card of Ghostwatch with Michael Parkinson's in a classic TV format from the 1990s is shown to audiences. Then Michael Parkinson's, the presenter, claims what you're about to say with real events, and some of these events are disturbing. The first event is the Fox Hills Haunting, and then they show us two kids in bed. And the footage is shot by parapsychologists or something. And of course, it's the witching hour, and it's 3:55 a.m. And a kid named Kim, or Kimmy, is awake in bed and is tossing and turning. And she gets up and turns the little lamp on and heads out to the room to use the loo.
Susanna, people, I've got to use the loo. Susanna, you awake? Susie!
And Suzanne's her sister, and Susie's asleep in her bed. And then some banging is heard somewhere.
Hey! What the hell was that?
And the camera shifts sideways, and all kinds of crazy shit starts happening. And the banging continues, and now the little light over there on the side, bah, sticks. No! Pop! Jesus!
Lord Jesus, what is that?
And now we cut away to a super cool montage of the Ghostwatch field team, and the Ghostwatch program officially begins. And now back to Michael in the studio.
Hello, I'm Michael. I'm joined here by Dr. Pasco, who is filling out a little Super Lotto ticket.
Yes, that's right, Michael. I heard it's actually 1 million British pounds. We all got to fill out our lotto, didn't we? The lot of you have not filled out your lotto. Ha! Bloody rubbish, the lot of you.
Anyway, Michael says that they will also be taking live calls
Whoop. And now we go back to the field with the Ghostwatch field reporter, Craig Charles, and he's on location at the Fox Hills house, and he's interviewing Pam Early, the mom of the girls who we saw earlier, and he's very mocky in his tone. He was like, "Hello, love. You're telling me. You're blind. Your blood telling me that this ghost thing your house, love." And the mom doesn't like his tone. "Why, bloody don't appreciate your tone, Craig Charles. You must believe us." "Back to you, Mark. I can't bloody believe I got this assignment." And back in the studio, where there is now a shot of the phone and the phone operator taking calls at 081-811-8181. That number, again, for all of you watching across the great British Kingdom, that's 081-811-8181. And there's a call already, and the caller is like,
Hello, is this Ghostbusters?
No, Mom, this is Ghostwatch, Mom.
Oh dear, I'm actually looking for the Ghostbusters. Might you be so kind and point me in the right direction?
Mom, I'm sorry, but this is Ghostwatch.
Oh, yo, no bloody hell. What in the bloody hell is a ghost watch anyway? Are you some kind of paranormal peeping Tom?
Mom, no, we look for ghosts and apparitions.
You look for ghosts and apparitions, you say? And then what? You offer them a cup of tea and some spotted dick? Bloody rubbish, the lot of you.
And the caller hangs up. And back to Mike Smith, the presenter, or rather Mike Smith, is in charge of the hotlines, and now Michael and Mike are having a back and forth about Michael and Sarah Green, who is spending the night out in the field at Fox Hills, and how they fight a brutal fight to see who got to spend the night at the haunted house. Hey, Mike, I heard that you refuse to go out in the field and instead shoved Sarah out there. Oh, that's quite the opposite, Michael. Quite the opposite. I actually wanted that assignment. I bloody told the producers that I would stay there the whole bloody night. How about Sarah and her wicked ways? Sarah and her evil, wicked woman ways. She had a way and she got the assignment as opposed to me. And I'm here now manning the telephone lines like some sort of butler. What am I, Alfred now? I'm bloody Alfred. Anyway. And now we're back on the field with Craig Charles and the family from Fox Hills. And he's a little more serious this time, but, you know, still kind of condescending. I've got a question for you. Say, how destructive has this evil entity been? And the mother, Pam Early, says,
well, on a scale of 1 to the British colonial empire, I would definitely say this is quite the British Raj.
And then one of the daughters, Kimmy, says,
well, Mama, I would say more like British America.
And then the other girl chimes in and she says,
perhaps more like a British America.
Craig,
there you have it, Mike. Quite a British entity indeed, Michael. Back to you. I'm sorry, I can't do this.
And back in the studio with Michael and Dr. Pascoe, and they all have a conversation. And by the way, there's a ton of dialogue here. I mean, it's a new show. Dr. Pascoe says,
Michael, I know it's quite easy to be skeptical. I've got to check my lot.
Yes, 627-84. Yes, those are my lucky numbers.
Anyway, Michael, I know that
we might be inclined to not believe them, but Michael, we must believe them. They aren't off the rocker. And Michael says, well, thanks so much, Doc. And now back to Sarah Grain, who's on the lion's den. Sarah, can you hear me? Sarah, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Sarah? Sarah, can you hear me? Sarah, can you hear me? Can you hear me, Sarah?
Well, Michael, yes, I can hear you. As a matter of fact, I've had my own experiences, and Smitty,
Michael Smith,
it's quite the fraidy cat. He's sitting in his throne like a regular King Charles over there. Well, I'm out here like a minority doing all the hard work. Nevertheless, I have here with me a quite a charming, if I may say so myself, quite a charming and intelligent man. And oh dear, he's an electrical engineer. My goodness, I was prepared for ghosts, but I must say I am a bit nervous to be in the presence of someone as brilliant as a proper engineer and an electrical one, the most noble and prestigious of all the engineering disciplines. He also happens to be a member of the Society for Psychical Research or something along those lines, Mr. Alan Damasco.
Oh, thank you, quite the introduction there, Sarah. But yes, indeed, I am a proper engineer, but rather, I'm an electronics engineer, you know? Not an electrical one. We bow in awe of the electrical engineer at the sight of that process. But we are a close second, I must say that. We are the close second. And anyway, we're here to talk about the paranormal, shitey. Electrical interferences and noises and tapping and full-on apparitions and a truck back here. See, that's quite the state-of-the-art machine. And from here, we can detect sudden and abnormal changes in temperature, noise, poor music, poor food, all with a side of spotted tick. We got all kinds of traducers. I'm sorry, transducers, Sarah.
Now we're with Chris. He's going to show us a cool camera invented by more electrical engineers. This is called infrared, and it allows us to see in the dark. Thank the bloody universe for the electrical engineer, Michael.
Now, Sarah also introduced, by the way, they're just doing introductions of all the crew that's, you know, in the field team. And now Sarah also interviews the sound guy, who is kind of hard of hearing himself. Oh, interesting. Finally, Sarah enters the house and she greets Pam. And now we're back in the studio with Dr. Pasco and Mike. And Dr. Pasco says,
you know, Michael, we've run a simulation with a computer, and the computer said that this was the most haunted location in all of Britain. And we also expect Halloween, October 31st, to make things quite a bit worse.
And Mike Smith, over on the phones, patches Emma in, and she's from Slough.
Hello, Michael, can you hear me?
Yes, go on, Emma, we can hear you just fine.
Well, I quite certain that I saw a woman in a black dress in the footage from the beginning of the television program. Do you have technology to perhaps go back in time and see that again?
So this woman claims that she saw something in the footage where the girls were like asleep, and one of them gets up to go to the restroom. She saw some figure. Dr. Pasco chimes in.
All right, rewind it. No, I haven't seen it. I don't think so.
And now we're back to Sarah, but she has not seen anything like a woman that Emma just described. But there's a tap somewhere. And another bloody tap. And Sarah's now concerned. She's walking a little bit. She walks in front of the kitchen. Ah! She walks in front of the kitchen pantry. And it's bloody Crenshaw.
Oh, Sarah. I can't bloody believe it. That was a guest. It's me. It's me, old chap. Crenshaw's the old chap. Oh, bloody hell. You absolutely gullible. This is so much rubbish, but hey, the pay is decent anyway.
And Sarah now starts to talk about the vile entities. And the first person to experience something was Suzanne, the eldest daughter, on December 28th, 1991.
Well, I was lying in bed after I had my cup of tea, and suddenly someone tucked me in, but it wasn't my mommy. It wasn't Pammy. It was some shadowy figure.
And then a day later, Noisy Patch, doing things in the shadows, woke her up as well. And Kimmy chimes in.
Oh, right, I also heard the tap dancing of the vampires and what they're doing in the shadows. And it sounded like tappa, tappa, tappa.
And then Pam chimes in and she,
you know, at the time I didn't want to scare the girls, so I had the brilliant idea of calling it, telling them it was the pipes, you know, central heating. And, well, the name pipes sort of stuck, and now they call this entity pipes, and it lives in the glory hall down the stairs.
And at this point, I was confused. It lives in the what? The glory hall is the space underneath a stairway in a house, which I would call the space underneath the stairs. If there is a more specific name in American English, well, I don't reckon don't know it. If you do, please let me know on the old Instagrams on the TikTok or the YouTubes at RickScore. And then Kimmy drew a pic of pipes and she shows it to Sarah.
Miss Sarah, it's my Kimmy. I want to show you a picture of the pipes I drew. There he is. Do you like it?
And pipes looks like some alien clown or some shit. If this is what the thing looks like, it's creepy as fuck. And they hang the picture of pipes on the fridge so that everybody can see it. Let's not forget what pipes looks like. Then they show Shara a journal that belongs to Suzanne, but she didn't draw the clown alien in there. Someone else did.
I bloody didn't draw. I don't like drawing clown aliens. I only like drawing pictures of Kurt Cobain.
I'm back to phone manager Mike. Caller said that they also saw a dark figure in the corner of the room. So now we go to the footage from the beginning of the film. And Michael, the presenter, oh, bloody don't see it. What was everyone talking about? And then they rewind the footage, and now Dr. Pasco has a John Madden TV prompter and a tablet to write on the screen, and she gets her analysis of what's going on. And,
well, what you have here is you have the shape of the curtain, and now it could easily quite be confused, like the figure of a woman, perhaps, because of the way that the light is refracting, or rather not refracting, off the black curtains, Michael. So no, I don't believe there's an entity in that area, and that is my expert analysis.
And now we're back to Sarah, and she's now talking to Pam, the mom, and Pam now shows Sarah the worst moment so far, and points at the pipes in the house, on the stairs, or rather the space that I talked about. And she says,
well, you know, I was in the glory hell.
Again, the space underneath the stairs.
And I was looking for some bloody document in there, but I couldn't find them. And I suddenly, I'm in there looking for the documents, and suddenly the door just shut behind me. And I couldn't believe it, and I kept yelling and screaming and tapping and yelling. But nobody could bloody hear me.
But then Kimmy yelled,
Mama! Mom, it's pipes, it's here! Mom, come help me! Mama, hold on to me! Whatever will be, will be!
And while I was in the bloody glory hell, I felt the man breathing. But it wasn't just normal breathing. The man had eaten a rotten cabbage of some sort. And I kept wondering to myself, first and foremost, what kind of man eats a rotten cabbage? A hungry one, I suppose.
And the second thing that came to mind is, how did this bloody man get inside my glory hole? We were told to go see a social worker because they thought that we were off our rocker, but we truly aren't. We're telling the truth.
And Pam shows the mother with the paper clippings of the weird house and everybody thinking that they're crazy. And they actually went on a television program. Hello, Pam. To please tell the audiences here in the studio and everyone at home what you're seeing in your haunted house.
Yes, Maury. Well, you see that the glory hell is haunted. And, you know, there's just certain things in there that shouldn't be in there. And it smells like a man with cabbage breath. And it's quite the experience, a horrifying experience, if I may say.
Fascinating, Pam. The haunted glory hole, you heard it here first, folks. We'll be right back after these commercials. Then Pam is going to go sit outside because, and this is all happening, by the way, this is all happening inside the house right now. So now she's going to go sit outside in the mobile studio to take calls from both the folks in the studio, Michael, Mike, and Dr. Pasco, and then folks calling from other parts of the state. Oh, the United Kingdom. Back to Mike, who patches in now Sandra.
Hello, Sandra. You're on the air with Larry King Live.
Sandra. Hello, you're on. Yeah, we can hear you just fine, Sandra. Please, go on.
Hello. My name is Sandra. Just wanted to call to say that I'm a huge fan, but also, I had a ghost in my childhood home in Brighton. A boy died there under rather mysterious circumstances.
Fascinating. Thank you so much, Sandra. And they go to Dr. Pasco, who has a book about angels of the odds.
Michael, I would like to, if you recall early in the program, I was doing my lotto. Well, if you're interested in how I come up with my lotto strategies, I've written a book called Angels of the Odds. And you can find this on sale now. And obviously, Amazon doesn't exist, but you can call the 011 number and we'll send it to you via post.
And now, there's footage of the Gansfield technique. Now, the Gansfield technique I explained to you. Now, they're going to use the Gansfield. There's footage of a scientific, pseudoscientific experiment they ran with the Gansfield technique on Suzanne sometime earlier in the year. And again, Suzanne is now going to be deprived of all her senses. Noises, sounds, and anything any organic sensor can detect. Eyes, ears, nose, and mouth. And then Dr. Pasco and Mike walk around the studio and take a gander at some evidence. First, a tape machine, where some of the noise from the footage is being heard. And this is what we hear. This is exactly what happened. And some entities chasing Kimmy in the kitchen.
Let's go to Fruit Loops, Mum! No!
Let's go to what?
You mean Fruit Hoops? Mom, it's got the Fruit Hoops!
Round and round the garden hose goes the teddy bear. One stone, two stone, take her.
Who are you? Are you dead, Mr. Pipes?
Good children, go to bed.
Then they go to Suzanne, where they ask her to do the voice from the tape, and this is her reaction. Suzanne, we heard this voice on the tape, but we couldn't possibly believe it was you because, well, you know, that's quite a deep voice. But could you at the very least try to do this voice, Suzanne?
All right, I'll give it a try, but. But first, may I drink some coffee?
Absolutely, Suzanne. Please, by all means, go on.
Oh, thank you. All right. I'm going to attempt to do the voice you heard
earlier, the one that goes a little bit like...
Oh, round and round the garden hose, the teddy bears.
Is it that one?
Yes, please, can you see if you can do that voice?
All right, I'll try. I'm sorry, I just can't. I just don't have the vocal range.
Oh, that's quite all right, Suzanne. It's quite all right. There must only mean one thing. It's demonic possession.
Then they go around the studio to go see more evidence, and now Dr. Pasco shows Michael a broken cup.
Now, Michael, I want you to take a close look at this broken cup here. Hey.
Oh, yeah, it's quite broken indeed. It's got the broken pieces all over the top. What could cause such an event?
Well, Michael, we've had NASA scientists and engineers claim that only a drastic change in temperature could cause such breakage.
Whoa! That's bloody brilliant. Fascinating.
I also would like to show you this wristwatch. Can you see this?
Yes, it's a bloody nice one. What about it?
Well, Michael, I want you to take a look at the time. It's stopped. It's stopped working. Now, a number of perhaps reasonable explanations can be given for a clock stopping. Perhaps the battery is dead. But here's the interesting thing. Those are not interesting theories to explore. No, this is definitely a paranormal event.
Fascinating, Dr. Patsko. Beautiful watch is that.
And then I walk over to see a bent spoon. Michael's observing it.
Huh. Bloody hell.
What is this? The bent spoon, and then some kid, a British kid, from out of nowhere shows up and says to him,
"Do not try to bend the spoon. That's impossible. Only try to realize the truth."
Michael responds,
"Oh. What is the truth, young man?"
"Well, the truth is that there is no spoon."
Bloody fascinating.
Then they talk to Suzanne now. And they ask her how she got these scratches all over the face that she has.
I don't know how I got these. They just appeared.
And Dr. Pasco has a theory on what's going on.
Well, I believe that it's, this guest has, as you become a girl, and Suzanne, who is going through puberty and a broken hymn, this is exactly what the poltergeist is focusing on. All right?
But Pam doesn't think that her daughter is causing any trouble. She thinks it's the bloody ghost. And now, we move on to Michael, who introduces the next panelist, but the next panelist is not in the studio with Dr. Pasco or Michael. He's actually across the pond in the United States of America. I'm not just going to tell you, Mr. Frank Sinatra here, to let you know where this person is.
Start spreading the news. I'm leaving today. I want to be a part of it. New York, New York.
That's right. Thank you so much, Mr. Frank Sinatra. The next panelist, Dr. Silvestri, actually finds himself in New York. And you know what, Mr. Sinatra, thank you so much for always taking the time to answer our calls and contribute to our show.
That's absolutely right, baby. Anytime you need me, you just go ahead and give me a call and I'll wake up in a city that never sleeps. Where I'm king of the hill, top of the heap, hey, number one, hey, number one.
Okay, Mr. Sinatra, completely, we appreciate that so much. Anyway, Dr. Silvestri in New York.
All right, see, what you got going on here is, I don't know, but
takes a slice, a bite of his peach.
Well, you know, I think this is just a clear, you know, the scratches are done by nails. The entity in the room? Yeah, you gotta fake that with wires or something like that. I don't believe any of this stuff, and those pictures of that stuff, it's all a photographic forgery. This is all baloney.
And Dr. Pascoe, you know, she doesn't like it.
You know, just because you don't believe in it, doesn't mean it's true.
What? What are you just saying to me? Do you want to make sense?
Listen, I know that you've got your physics degree, or whatever the case may be, but, you know, you've got to believe this family. All right? You've got to believe them.
You know what? Dr. Pascoe, I would really love to... Hold on a second here. You know, I would really love to believe that I'm going to heaven, right? But you know what? Believing in something doesn't make it a scientific fact, okay? All right? You need me for anything else? I got a Yankees game to watch.
And then Dr. Pascoe responds.
Hey, bloody scientist. They have no idea ever what's going on. All they want to know about the natural world and sort of buffoonery, all rubbish, the bloody New Yorkers.
And back to Sarah. She tells her ghost story now.
Michael, you're going to want bloody hear this. It was about, you know, I was in a 16th century house asleep, and I was woken up by some sort of harpsichord noise, and then I saw an Indian woman's face, but not what we believe to be Indians in America. Those are Native Americans, or the proper people of America. No, I meant an actual person of Indian descent from India. And anyway, she was dancing, and I was bloody excited about the dancing. Oh, do go on, dear. Do go on. How exciting. And the house was owned by the Viceroy of an Indian... the Viceroy of India, who had a couple of concubines, and when they died, they couldn't be buried on consecrated ground because they were, well, you know, they were bloody Indian. Can't bury them, yeah? But it wasn't scary.
What? That's your ghost story?
Yeah, right, like I said, it just wasn't scary. But yes, that's my ghost story.
And now they're putting Suzanne back to bed. And they're putting her to bed to see if she can get haunted or some shit.
All right, Suzanne. Now you go ahead and lay down on here, your bed, and hopefully Mr. Pipes doesn't come get you. But if it does, we'll be right downstairs with the camera crew. All right, love?
Oh, you just go to sleep, little one. Don't you worry about Mr. Pipes. Eh, don't you worry about him. We'll be right downstairs.
And Sarah goes to grab some coffee for her and for crew, and she keeps holding herself as if she's really cold. But, you know, they never mention anything. One of the interesting things about, paranormal activity, one of the things that parapsychologists claim is a sign or a potential sign of paranormal activity is a cold spot. And, you know, she keeps shivering, and I thought to myself, at some point they're going to mention cold spots, but they actually never do. So, not certain why. Anyway... The sound guy,
Sarah, we'll take a look at my bloody watch. It stopped.
Eh, when did it stop?
I think it actually stopped before we went on the air.
And they're all getting drinks in the kitchen and, you know, hanging out and having a good time. And now Mike, the cameraman, now with someone who had actually, I'm sorry, no, not Mike the cameraman. We're now back with Mike on the phones, and he's got somebody who has had an encounter with an entity. Remember, this is somebody calling into Ghostwatch.
Hello? Yes, I was eating lunch, and mackerel saliva was on it. I looked at my bloody lunch and thought to myself, where is that bloody saliva on this mackerel? And then, to make things worse, after I dusted off the saliva from my mackerel, I found saliva on the bloody doorstep. I said to myself, huh? Where is this bloody saliva on my bloody doorstep? and then I lost my temper. Bloody hell, what do you know? There was bloody saliva on my shoe as well. And I said to myself, where is the bloody saliva coming from? And then, to make things worse, as if it couldn't get any worse, I found shit. There was shit smothered all over the cupboard and all the parts of the apartment. And it was bloody disgusting.
Quite the interesting paranormal experience there. Thanks so much for calling in, anonymous caller. And now we're back to Craig Charles on the field, and now he's giving a tour of the community, and he's jogging somewhere. All right, Lawell. Well, isn't a bloody jog through the community and interview people who live here about the paranormal experiences and all right, what's your name? Love, Yvonne? Yvonne Everly, please, go on.
Yes, Craig. I live on 40th Avenue, opposite the Palm.
Another woman with Yvonne also speaks, and she says,
yes, a girl went missing, you know, Charles, I don't like your buffoonery. I bloody don't like it because horror's not funny. How dare you make a mockery of really creepy situations? You're such a buffoon. Horror can't be funny. Do you hear me? Horror is serious. Don't try to make a joke out of it, bloody Charles.
I'm so sorry. Absolutely, I'll take it. This is a bloody serious, I swear. Anyway, shall we move on, ladies? Yeah, go ahead, like, grab my arm. And they start to walk, and they stop at the location where they actually found a dead Labrador who was pregnant, but that definitely is not funny. And now Charles moves on to talk to somebody else, and happens to be a British Royal Guard and spiritualist.
We're here with Mrs. Arthur Lacey, and I was gonna take this a little more seriously. Mr. Lacey, you British Royal Guard and the spiritualist yourself is quite brilliant. Anyway, can you tell me what you've done for this family?
Oh, yes. I've prayed for the family, and I've offered a soul like getting light. I felt evil. I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it at first, but then I asked it, and it told me. To my face, it said to me, Arthur Lacey, British Royal Guard and spiritualist, I am a ghost, and I did not know I was dead.
And Mr. Lacey continues,
you know, Charles, may I call you Charles?
Absolutely, Mr. Lacey, please, by all means, this story is fascinating.
Yes, Charles, as I was saying, I believe that places can also inherit genes from the past, much in the same way you inherit genes from your parents. It's bloody science.
Oh, yeah, that makes bloody sense. And now, as he's about to talk to Billy and Katie, she gets cut off. Because now we're back to Sarah, and there's a creepy carpet spot on the floor.
Yeah, Michael, we were just sipping on our coffee, which I have right here, by the way. It's a quite delicious brew. That's less bloody brilliant. But anyway, I was sipping my coffee, and suddenly I saw a spot. Not a spot of dick, but rather a spot of water on the carpet. And, I tried cleaning the chandelier above with a hanky, and then I smelled it to see if there was any moisture, or perhaps there was something coming up from the lamp. But there was nothing bloody there, and I couldn't believe it. And so then what the Dr. Pascal suggested is that, that I'll take a sample of the water of the tap. And we're going to send it to a lab and compare it with the water that I found on the carpet. Because this is bloody interesting. It's like a bloody carpet circle. Not quite as cool as a crop circle, but a water circle is quite an interesting paranormal experience, wouldn't you say, Mike?
Yes, it's quite an interesting paranormal experience, Dr. Pascoe.
Yes, making loud noises, sound, water. These are all common events before the more serious poltergeist activities begin.
And again in the studio now, Kevin Tripp is on the line from Neath. Kevin, you're on the air. Kevin. Welcome to Ghost Watch, Kevin. Can you hear me?
My name's Kevin Tripp, and I'm from Neath. Can you hear me?
Yes, yes, we can hear you just fine, Kevin. Please, go on, tell us.
Well, him and mates were watching the telly, and it's certainly a dirty great play just left off the title, and I said in my mind, it's got a bloody mind of its own.
Oh, Lord. A bloody drunk caller, please. No buffoonery. You're overloading the lines. Only serious calls in this show. And back to Fox Hills Drive, where shit is now really happening. And they're in the bedroom, and they're moving a bed from side to side, and suddenly they hear scratches. And the sound continues to pick up, and now there's taps upstairs. And Sarah is urged not to go upstairs, but Michael. But now Suzanne is missing.
Suzanne, where the bloody hell are you? Where the bloody hell are you, Suzanne?
And in the studio, Dr. Pasco, the hero that she is, starts commanding the camera crew to move cameras. All right, camera one in the landing. Show me your footage. No, not that landing. The upper landing. Now pan left. Can you pan left? There's the bloody sources of noise. And it's Suzanne! And she's tappa-tappa-tappa on some pipes, and it just caught her in the act. And now she runs to her bed, and she says it wasn't her. And Michael in the studio is clearly pissed off and is clearly saying the entire bloody thing has been a hoax. I've been made a fool of. Dr. Pasco, say something.
Michael, perhaps it's some sort of ritual. I don't know. It's teenage girls. Who understands them?
Oh, rubbish, says Michael. And Michael is now asking Suzanne whether she scratched her own face and whether or not she drew the clown alien in her notebook. And now back to Dr. Alan Silvestri in New York, New York. I want to wake up in a city that never sleeps and find I'm king of the hill, top of the hip. King of the hill, hey, number one. Wanna wake up in a city that never sleeps and find I'm king of the hill, top of the heap. These little town blues are longing to stray. Brand new start of it in old New York. If I can make it there, I'll make it anywhere. It's up to you, New York, New York. With Dr. Alan Silvestri. Keep those lights on for the rest. And Dr. Alan Silvestri speaks, still eating his pizza.
You know, I had to be the one that tells you I told you so, but you know what, I told you so. All right, so I want you to start spreading the news.
And on the phone lines now are... people are still seeing that stupid figure from the footage for some reason. They still see it. And it's either an old man or a woman in a buttoned-up thing up to the neck, and it's in a bedroom. And now we start to watch another Ghost Watch story, because the Fox Hill story was totally rubbish. And now we see a different story with Laura. And Laura's sitting in a room telling her story.
You
said there, and I was in my house, and it was cold, and it had a nasty feeling, and the ornaments shattered. It wasn't a nice house, not that I recall. Those shadows would move at the end of the bed,
and then the tape goes crazy, like, no, 1990s crazy. And we're now back to an anonymous caller who we can see, but we can't see their face. This. Oh, shit. What have I done? We are experiencing technical difficulties. Ah. Ah! Here we go. For the audience who's just listening, some shit went awry, but no, it wasn't paranormal. I did it myself. Completely normal. Anyway, we're back to an anonymous caller, and he starts talking about, well, actually, it's a woman, and she says that a glass table exploded when her husband rested one of his fingers on it, and suddenly all of her clocks have stopped at 9:30. And now we see a tape of Dr. Pasco and Kimmy, and Kimmy is describing the entity like the callers are describing the entity, a woman or a man all in black buttoned up. And now we're back to Sarah, and she's still in the house. And now they hear some cats meowing. Uh-oh! Meow! Meow! And Kimmy says,
Sarah, there's something bloody wrong with Susie. We should go check upstairs.
And everybody rushes upstairs. And Susie now has scratches on her face. And the mom shows,
let's see the bloody fingernails. They're bloody clean. What, you think she scratched her face, then went into the loo and washed them and cleaned them thoroughly, rinsed them and dried them, then lied in bed? All of this before we even had an opportunity to rush up here. How long could something have taken for her to do it? It's a physical impossibility. I know, Matt Susie. She can't move that fast.
And something sighed while Sarah went to fetch a wet rag. It sounded something like... And Kimmy says...
I would like to make an announcement now. I've spoken to Mr. Pipes, and he says we all have to stay.
And Michael in the studio now says that,
well, I'm sorry, Laura, your story was quite interesting, I must say. It was really fascinating. But no, we have to stay with the family at Fox Hills to follow through on this particular story.
And Dr. Pascal has a theory.
Well, you know, I'm quite good at picking numbers, and if I was a betting woman, which I am, again, my lucky numbers are 6, 2, 7, 8, 4. If I was a betting woman, I would say that both of these children have Mr. Pipes' interest now.
And now we're back to Mike, who's on the phones, and May Christopher from Norfolk calls. And by the way, I have no idea what a Norfolk accent sounds like.
Good evening. Yes, this is Mara Christopher from Norfolk. And the Mother of Sevens will come get you if you don't go to sleep. And, you know, as it turns out, this woman would take kids. And she would take kids in and murder them. And, you know, that, as a matter of fact, she used to live on Fox Hill. So, yes, I believe what you're saying is Mother of Sevens. Mike, I just want to say that you look you're quite a dashing man, Mike.
And Mike blushes. it's quite nice of you, Mary. Quite nice. Zaya says Suzanne feels better now. All right. And Kimmy says,
I'm talking to Pipes. He's here now. Mr. Pipes is here.
And Kimmy is asked by somebody what Pipes look like, and she says that
Mr. Pipes looks like somebody's mommy.
And Michael back in the studio says,
I need, you know what? I've had enough of this pipes bullshit. This buffoonery, I've had enough of it. We're going to dedicate these kids out of this house.
And suddenly, as that's happening, loud noises start to happen. But it's not Suzanne anymore. Suzanne is clearly with somebody. So now shit's getting real. And, so they start to try to take the kids. Now there's crazy noises, and suddenly a picture falls from the wall, and Suzanne's now possessed. And she says,
what big eyes you have. What big ears you have.
And Pipe tells Sarah that while in Suzanne's body, so it's a little demonic possession, a favorite of the show. And now they can't find Kimmy anywhere. Sarah goes into the kitchen and finds Kimmy's toy, and he's getting a bath under the kitchen sink for some reason.
Hey, the little toy's like, oh, see, can I get a little privacy here? Just taking a little blow, a shower.
But its eyes are missing. Like Coraline, so they're going to button up some Coraline eye. And now there's a cat making noises. And the mirror is rattling. And the lights are flickering on and off. And this footage is all scrambling. And all kinds of crazy shit is happening. And they're opening the door to exit. They're opening the glory hole door. Again, the space underneath the stairs for the bloody American audiences. And they remove a piece of wood that's blocking the door. And suddenly the door opens and Mike, the audio guy, falls. I don't know what happened. And Suzanne screams. Susan,
hey, bloody hell.
She screams bloody murder.
Bloody murder.
And there's a footage blackout. And suddenly, we don't see shit. It's all black. And now they're back outside with Kirk Charles.
Oh boy, hell!
And he's with Alan.
Alan, oh, I can't believe this bloody. Before
anyway, Alan, I heard you're quite a brilliant man, an electronics engineer. Well, tell me more about that. That's quite a noble discipline, I must say. Well, you know, of course, all the respect, a tremendous amount of respect for the engineers. You know, as I like to call them, the cream of the crop. So the most bloody brilliant humans on the face of this earth. I've nothing but respect for the engineers, especially the electric engineer ones, and especially those that are actually a combination of electric and software engineers. Now that's bloody brilliant. What kind of a brain does the bloody human being need to have to be that bloody brilliant? I have to agree with Chris Charles, a bloody brilliant brain to be that. And he had no idea he was on camera.
Oh, bloody hell, if you're going to, at the very least, tell me I'm on camera.
And now we're back inside. And the sound guy, Mark, is gone. But now everybody's playing cards on the floor. And there's no sound because the sound guy's gone. But the footage is showing them all hanging out and having fun, like, super fun. But the footage isn't right, is it? Doesn't seem like it. And now we're back on the phones. And it's a man that has some history to share about the house.
Hello? Hello? Is this... Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Please, go on, sir.
Yes, I'd like to remain anonymous. Please don't show my face.
Sir... There's no camera in your living room now, is there?
Yes, correct. I know the bloody... The bloody Interpol is everywhere. Anyway, I have some history.
I have some history about the house.
You see, Mr. and Mrs. Sellers, they sublet a room in the 1960s, and it was, of course, illegal. And they rented it to one Raymond Hustle, their nephew. And he was in the psych ward. He was in the psych ward for molestation, abuse, abduction of minors, and for some bloody reason, the state decided to release him. And he had paranoid fantasies, and, you know, one day he... decided to kill himself inside the house in the glory hole under the stairs. And for anybody who's listening in America, that's the space under the stairs. Anyway, when they found him, They heard cats screaming and meowing, and, you know, he had cats in there, and then you can imagine they ate his bloody body because they got hungry. They only found his body 12 days after the event.
How the bloody hell do you know all of this?
Well, I happen to be a psychologist, so I actually treated him.
So, all of this crazy history inside the house, so it turns out a man by the name of Raymond Tustell. So Dr. Pascoe now realizes that the footage from earlier is in fact a dupe. It's not true. It's not a live feed. And now we cut to a live feed finally. And suddenly, the studio's super windy now, and Mike's like, hair is blowing, like, oh, boy. His newsman hair is, I don't want to mess up with a newsman's hair, right? But his hair is like, it's windy everywhere and shit, and all kinds of windy shit in the studio. And we cut to a live feed of the house now, finally. And now the sound guy's being taken out on a stretcher. And the police arrive, and it's also windy as hell outside. Oh, shit. Breaking loose, and Kim is fighting with the mom outside.
Now, Mom, I want to get back inside. I want my Fruit Loops.
And now there's footage of the inside of the house. Somehow it continues. And I missed this earlier. They did a little scene where they showcased an infrared camera and they did a big deal about it. But now the infrared camera is on. Now, infrared cameras allow you to see in the dark. It captures heat signatures. And now we see Sarah and she's looking for Susie. Now, we only see the heat signatures in an infrared camera. And Chris, the cameraman, is obviously still there. Sarah finds Chris, and Sarah turns on a little lighter.
Susan, are you here? What the bloody hell are you?
And back in the studio, the wind continues. And suddenly, boom, the light goes out in the studio, and all crazy shit happening in the studio, and all hell's breaking loose. And now the studio goes super dark, but the professional, ever the professional newsman, Michael continues, well, but the bloody hell, we don't know what's going on here in this studio, and my hair's all messed up, but I'm still here. My tie's still on, and my coat's still on proper, like a proper British gentleman. But suddenly, we go back to the house, okay? And the wind is howling, and she's looking for Suzanne, and she reaches the glory hole. Which is, of course, the space under the stairs. And she calls to Suzanne. And Suzanne is being hurt by the entity that they described earlier. It's pipes, and she's stuck underneath the glory hole. And Suzanne is banging on it, trying to get Sarah's banging on it, trying to get Suzanne out. But she can, and suddenly the door opens. But Sarah gets trapped inside. Oh, and now back in the studio, and it's completely dark. And Michael is there, still being the ever professional newsman. And suddenly, a dim light turns on in the studio, and there's a cat meowing in the studio.
Well, the bloody cat in the studio. How'd you get in here?
And suddenly, you hear.
Round and round the cats go like, ah!
And that's it. The movie ends, and wow, P5O from Fade to Black,
and that is it. That is how this went. And man, oh man, that shit was fascinating. What an absolute joyride. Now, I have to say, Billy, you with us?
Yeah, I'm here. I was, man. And by the way, this is going to be your longest episode ever, so congratulations.
Ooh. I'm going to make this snappy. Here's my interpretation. My interpretation of the ending. How did the ghost go from being in somebody's house to being in the studio? How did that journey occur? Take a taxi. Thank you. Good night. No. I think the ghost is capable of detecting electromagnetic waves and understands the principles of broadcast television in the 1990s. The ghost, Mr. Pipes, is also the owner, the proud owner of an analog oscilloscope, has one available, attaches an antenna to pick up the desired frequency range at 48 to 67 megahertz, which is the frequency range of the VHF standard of Britain at the time for the BBC One. Now, the 48 to 67 megahertz range was specific, again, to the BBC One channel. With this information in its pocket and with the oscilloscope and an antenna clearly pointed in the direction of the origin of this electromagnetic wave, the ghost was able to trace the signal back to Michael in the studio, took a cab there, and wreaked havoc all over the place. And that is our explanation to how the ghost got into the studio. But that is it. That is it. We cannot go on any longer. Again, a rating. This movie was phenomenal. It was exciting. It was new. A little confusing on the end. At the beginning, I had no idea what was going on. But I loved it. A 10 out of 10 for Ghostwatch. If you are still here in our longest episode in the history of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show, we really appreciate you being here. Thank you so much for joining us. If this is your first time here, we hope that you will come back. Be our friend on the Instagram, on the TikTok, on the YouTubes, on the Facebooks, at Rick's Horror. Talk to us. We want to know, do you like this crazy shit that we're doing? I like it, but I want to hear from you. Are we doing a good job? How's our driving? Thank you so much for being here, and we'll catch you again on another exciting episode of Rick's Horror Movie Review Show, Rick's Rated R Horror Movie Review Show.